Hello and welcome to the Rookie Pastor Podcast. My name is Eric Maddox and I am your host. Welcome to episode 5. And here we're going to be wrapping up our conversation with Gavin Breeden, the RUF minister at Tennessee Tech University in Cookeville, Tennessee. And so today we discuss quarantine recommendations. What does Gavin recommend to us? Talk about some books, talk about some games and movies that are great for the whole family and for adult couples. And then we also discuss how do we keep these things from becoming idols in our lives. And then we close out with Gavin sharing with us some scripture texts and theological truths that he finds himself going back to as he is strengthening his hope in Christ during this time. So I hope you enjoy, and thanks for listening. So now I want to move into, because you are ever since I found out you liked the movie The Tree of Life, I never saw it. I just knew that it got mocked a lot. And I was just like, my favorite movie in the last year was Avengers Endgame.
Sure.
So that tells you the level of my cinema enjoyment. So, sure. And I say that hoping to offend your sensibilities.
No. Actually, listen, we probably should settle this really quick. So Tree of Life is my favorite movie of all time. So I'm not ashamed of that. But I was not a Marvel fan at all until the last couple of years. And I remember going with you on your birthday one year to see Age of Ultron. And
Right.
Yeah. And I had not even seen the first Avengers at the time. I had to watch the first Avengers to prepare to go with you to see, see the second Avengers movie. And at the time I was kind of like, yeah, these are fine, you know, but I tell you what, I have come around big time on Marvel. I've watched all the Marvel movies except for the most recent Spider-Man. I love all the Marvel movies. I think for me what it was Infinity War was what kind of changed it for me, seeing how all of these stories kind of were coming together to tell this greater story. It totally flipped my understanding, my sort of unappreciation of the Marvel, you know, cinematic universe. So all that to say, I repent in dust and ashes that I'm a Marvel convert now. So Endgame.
I want to say I am hopeful about DC movies, and I have enjoyed some of the DC movies as well. But they just got to get their game up. So, I've definitely enjoyed some of their offerings very, very much. Some of them have been really good, and then some of them have been not so good. What are some movies that you're enjoying? I mean, if you've got Gavin's quarantine picks, sure. I don't know, like a family movie, and then maybe a thoughtful movie that's maybe more for adults. I don't know.
I jotted down some notes. I got a few hot picks here for you.
All right, go for it. So
yeah, I will say I think this is a great time for movie marathons. Like we're at home. I've mentioned watching movies with our family. We've watched a lot of the MCU movies. We have Disney Plus, right? So we've been watching a ton of Marvel movies. That was a lot of fun. We did a Marvel marathon. Now we're doing a Pixar marathon. I absolutely love the Pixar movies. I think those are some of the best movies, in the last 10 or 20 years that have been Pixar stuff. And so highly recommend that. So that's kind of our current thing. Some recent things, I'm always a big fan of just older movies. I think going back and watching, you know, Alfred Hitchcock, or going back and watching, you know, stuff from the 50s and 40s, and, you know, Citizen Kane, some of the most famous movies, I think, you can't go wrong with that stuff. Those are great all the time. But some more recent things, you know, my family, we really enjoyed Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't know if you saw that. It came out last month, but I think it's already available for like streaming or renting online.
No, but we are going to rent it. So
it's
on the list.
We had a blast with that movie. My whole family went. Love that movie. Highly recommend that for kids and families. It was really funny. I'll tell you my three favorite movies from 2019, which are, I think, all available now to rent or stream or something. They are Little Women. That was my favorite movie of last year. I absolutely loved the adaptation of the old, you know, Louisa May Alcott novel. Little Women was great. Very, just wonderful. It's my most enjoyable time at the movies last year. Knives Out, very different type of movie there. Knives Out, which is sort of a murder mystery, not
kind of like an Agatha Christie.
Yeah,
type.
A little bit. It's sort of a spin on that. It's sort of riffing on that a little bit. Yeah, it's sort of an Agatha Christie homage, but you know, a murder mystery that's was a lot of fun. You know, it's PG-13, got a little bit of language, so something maybe for, you know, teens and up. And then a movie called, I gotta go snooty. I gotta go highbrow. I gotta be pretentious.
That's why I'm asking you here, man.
So. A movie called A Hidden Life, which is made by Terrence Malick. So he's the same writer and director of The Tree of Life.
Ah.
But there it is. Yeah. A Hidden Life is, it's based on a true story about set during World War II. I'll just say at the beginning here, it is a 3-hour art movie. Okay. So just be, okay. You know, right now, whether that's something you would be able to do or not, but it's about a man who is in World War II, lives an Austrian farmer who's drafted to fight in Hitler's army. But because of his Christian conviction, he refuses to swear allegiance to Hitler. And he's essentially put on death row for this. And it's a movie that's really about faith and family. It's about character and integrity. It's about, how to live in some ways, what does our Christian commitment sometimes require of us? It's a long movie, very beautiful, beautifully shot movie, very poetic sort of in its style. Difficult, you know, hard and gut wrenching in moments. But highly recommend it. Really, really good. So if you're looking for something very thoughtful and slow and artsy, that's my pick.
Do you watch that in between Toy Story 3 and 4? Is that when that fits in there?
Yeah, that's right. So that one I don't. My wife generally doesn't enjoy. My wife doesn't enjoy some of the artsy movies that I like. So that's one that's like, you know, everyone's in bed and I'm gonna watch a 3-hour artsy movie by myself. That's kind of with that.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, I was actually thinking about a good quarantine movie is Groundhog Day. You know, the great Bill Murray movie where every day is the same and he goes through a variety of emotions. This guy's reliving the same day over and over, Groundhog Day. And every day feels exactly the same. And he has a variety of emotions about that. But eventually he kind of, I think, starts to wonder, maybe what if I use this sort of infinite number of same days just to make myself a better person or to try to, you know, to try to learn. He learns piano and he, you know, really does slowly change over time. It's actually it's a funny movie, but also I think really thought provoking and good quarantine watching, I think.
That is a classic film. And I, when everybody was putting on Twitter, like, the, you know, Shakespeare wrote this during quarantine and whatever, blah, blah. Like I put on there, you know, whatever, is it Phil? Yeah, Phil. I was like, oh, well, you know, in Groundhog Day, Phil became an ice sculptor and a skilled piano player and an all-around good person. Yeah. What did you do?
So. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that movie could give us a lot to think about right now, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, that's a good one. So, okay. So let's shift over to board games. So we share a love for board games and real board games. Now, yeah. I've had some people take me to task because we like to play Monopoly, because sure. it's a great simple game that my kids just all of them can jump in. Most of them can anyway. Yeah. And actually, even the kids that are not that good at math, they get real good at math when it comes to counting money.
Buying and selling, like, man.
Oh man, they're subtracting and adding, mm-hmm. and they know exactly how much money you owe them. So yeah, so yeah, but my Boaz is always like my oldest. He's always just like, man. He's like, can we play? You know, we've got 30 minutes. What do you want to play? Let's play Axis and Allies. We're like, dude, come on. That's like 5 days. Yeah. That's how long it takes to play that game.
Yeah,
1 day for setup. 4 days to play, and you know, and just it's always like, you know, Settlers of Catan or something, which that is a favorite of ours. We've been playing the Traders and Barbarians scenario game,
sure,
and that's been a lot of fun. But so what are some games that you're getting into, and we can kind of go again, like whole family games And you're the ones, we have King of New York now.
Oh, yeah.
To you. And yeah. so we love that game. But you got us turned on to that. So, but what are some games to play with the whole family or just like you and Shalane? What's up?
Yeah. So, for family games, it's funny. I have two that I was going to mention and they're both kind of, horror themed, which is weird. They're not scary games. They're very play. Yeah. They're very sort of silly. But one game is called Horrified and I really highly recommend it. It's a cooperative game where you're all playing on the same team and you're in this little town. And basically it's like the old, Universal movie monsters from like the 1950s. So like the Creature from the Black Lagoon, the Mummy, yeah. Dracula, like all of this kind of, so it's not a scary, it's sort of like a classic, you know, horror movie thing. But you're trying to sort of defeat these different monsters and you're working together to fight against these monsters. That game has been a blast. We love that. One game my kids are really into right now is a game called Ghost Fighting Treasure Hunters, which is I think it's a hilarious name for a game, but it's a game more for kids. That one's even more for younger kids where you're kind of going into this house trying to collect jewels and there's ghosts and you're trying to defeat the ghosts and, our kids, that's the one our kids are requesting to play a lot these days. And so those are two, I think, really good, you know, family style games, that a lot of families would enjoy. I mean, I'm always recommending, you know, if you're new to games, you know, something like Ticket to Ride is a good family place, a family style game.
That's a go-to for us.
Yeah. Another game called Downforce. It's a game about sort of racing cars. And that's one you can play with teenagers or adults. You can also play, there's like a rules to make it simpler. You can play it with kids. So that one's a lot of fun as well. So those would be like some more kid family style games. Some maybe more, you know, for older teens or grownups that we've really been enjoying. My wife has been really obsessed. We both have with this dice game called, it's a German game called Ganz Schön Clever, but the English title is That's Pretty Clever. And you can get it on Amazon for like $20, I think. And it's just a game. It looks like a spreadsheet. If you look at the, it's like, it's a roll and write game. So you're rolling dice and then kind of writing things down, kind of like Yahtzee, I guess, but it looks like just a spreadsheet when you see it and you're rolling dice and you're marking things off. But what makes the game really fun is there's all these little combos that you can kind of activate that like you'll place a die in this particular spot, mark it off. And that gives you a combo that like gives you a benefit in another part of the spreadsheet. Another part of the sheet. And so, yeah, it sounds really weird, but every single person that we've introduced this game to, which has been quite a number, has loved it. And most of them have gone and bought their own copy of it that they've enjoyed so much. So That's Pretty Clever is a great game that I would recommend.
Yeah, we've gotten into, there's a dice game that somebody gave to us called Quicks. And so it's, the dice games are, I don't know if making a comeback, but it's, you know, I've seen them kind of pop up more and more. And just kind of these different kind of clever ways to play with dice. And so, yeah, I pulled that up. It's only $16.88 on Amazon. So
yeah, it's a good one. It plays really, you can play it 1, 2, 3, or 4 players and it plays well at every account. So my wife and I have played it a ton. We played it like 2 players a lot and 4 players a lot. It's a lot of fun.
That's cool.
A couple other just sort of more, you know, maybe adult or whatever recommendations. A game called Wingspan, which is about collecting birds. It's a very pretty game about birds. And you have different types of birds that are coming out. You're trying to figure out how to feed the birds and how to, you know, lay eggs and doing all these different things that score points. Also,
you know, and I just a word on that, because sometimes we think about games where they're like, oh, that's too simple or too like, I have a game. We have a game that is the game is about growing trees.
Oh, is that Photosynthesis?
Yes. Yeah.
Great game.
So we have that, and my kids love it.
So fun.
And it actually, it was funny. There's a game, and I do not recommend this because kids love it. I mean, kids love this game. My kids love the game. They always want to play, and my wife and I never want to play this game. They can play it on their own. We just don't want to play it. It's basically a game that teaches you about how to like handle money.
Yeah.
And it's called Cash Flow.
Okay. And, I heard of that.
It is a incredibly detailed, incredibly boring game. and, because it's just, you just go around in the rat race and you just collect paychecks and you pay off debt and you stuff like that. The kids love it because they get to pretend to be adults. So it is a fun game for kids, but it takes a long time to play it. And my kids are like, let's play this. And we're like, let's play something else, please.
Yeah.
Like, that's my life. I don't want to play that.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely games that our kids love that we're like, yeah, you guys play that. Y'all go ahead and play that. You know, we'll sit out this time. So for sure. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I think, you know, board games, there's a lot of variety there. There's a surprising amount of, you know, like a game about trees growing, a game about birds, you know, collecting birds. I mean, there's just a lot of different, whatever kind of stuff that you happen to be interested in, whether it's, you know, monsters or birds or whatever, like you can find a board game about that theme, about that topic. And that's, I think, really fun.
Well, it's also fun. I do like games. I mean, I like the whole like mystical reality games, like where you get into, or you go like Catan games, stuff like that. But I really do like some of the aspects of games where there's some fundamental skills that are involved. Like,
sure.
I mean, just, you know, just, I love strategy games because they help teach things. And so, you know, even like photosynthesis, they're thinking through the process of trees and growth, you know, and just, yeah, you know, birds are thinking through that. Or even, I mean, cash flow. I mean, I love the fact that because of that game, I've had so many conversations with my son about the stock market. Because he's just, because he's like, yeah, buying stock, or he's like, so if you buy a house at this much, you know, it's like, so he's talking to, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I was like, we're having like real estate conversations, and I'm like, okay, it's like, hey, this is awesome, you know. But I do love that aspect where you can make regular aspects. It's like how, you know, Seinfeld, the comedian, one of the things that made him so brilliant was that he would take things that, you know, were average or not funny or really just were mundane aspects. It's secret of comedy generally, and make them funny.
Yeah.
Right. And he would draw them in. And that's kind of like games can do the same thing. They can take something that's, you know, average or run of the mill, and they can kind of focus on that and make it into something that is fun and engaging.
Totally.
And it highlights certain aspects of life that you may not have otherwise thought about. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let me talk about one more real quick.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, this topic of, you know, there's a rich, you know, tradition of games that teach history too. And I mean, you've already mentioned Axis and Allies, but I stumbled upon a game recently that I acquired and have played. It's called Sola Fide, The Reformation. And it's
what?
It's a game that's sort of about the Reformation. It's a two-player game. It's sort of almost a tactical kind of, not quite a war game, but it's a game of sort of competing over influence. It's one player plays as the Protestants, one player plays as the Catholics. And there's such a rich history that's like all the cards, you know, like the Diet of Worms is one of the cards and John Calvin is a card. And like there's all these different, and there's a whole booklet that comes with it that just explains the history of every single card in the game. And you're kind of competing over different regions of Europe, you know, trying to who's going to win the Reformation.
I'm sure the game's awesome, but that just sounds like the most terrible, like Dungeons and Dragons scenario. They're like, you get +4 intelligence, but
yeah, that's right. Well, it's pretty fun. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a little drier, a little bit more tactical than most of the games I've already mentioned. That one would not be maybe appeal to the great masses, but I think if you're interested in history and the Reformation, it's a pretty fun one to check out.
Yeah, well, I feel like that should be required for ordination. I think.
I know. You have to play this game and win.
Should be on the views exam. That one that you have to take when you come into Presbytery.
Exactly.
And they ask you, and they're like, "Okay, well, what's your view about, you know, dance in the worship service?" And then, do you own or have you ever played Sola Fide, the board game? And if
that's
not,
right,
then you have to come back after you play it. So
that's right. Bring your copy. Bring your proof of purchase.
Exactly. Yeah, you get to have some kind of photo or something. So some kind of witness there. There's one more thing I wanted to, before we end the call, and this is actually not on the list. So I'm going to surprise you with this question. but I want to kind of bring it back to our current situation. We've got all this stuff going on. Well, so we got two things that I want to talk about, which is, so we've given like all the movies, Netflix, like we talked about the games and stuff like that. So how do we take these things and use them as, gifts from the Lord as enjoyable entertainments and even distractions, but entertainment, but not place our hope in them. You know, like how do we avoid doing like the quarantine? We're glazed over binge watching. If there's a phrase I hate is binge watching, mm-hmm. but binge watching, series upon series, you know, like, so what would you say you need to have in place to guard yourself against taking something good and making it to something sinful or even harmful to you?
Man, that's a great question. I mean, I think a couple of ways. I mean, one way is I think we're always looking, as you mentioned earlier, the truth, goodness, and beauty sort of triad. I mean, I think we're always looking for truth, goodness, and beauty in media. And if you're watching something that doesn't have any amount of truth, goodness, or beauty to it, then yeah, that's a question. Should you be watching that? You know, I mean, I think also, you know, I found that like thanking God for art and for media and for those kind of things, like, you know, viewing it as something that is a gift from God, viewing it as something that, you know, he's given to us, and being able to thank him for those things, approaching it with a sense of thanksgiving. I think that with anything in life, there, you know, because we're always tempted to take things that are gifts from God and turn them into ultimate things, you know, to love the gift more than we love the giver. And so I think, you know, being able to view all things as sort of, you know, coming to us from his hand and being able to thank him helps keep our eyes on God above all else. I think another part of it is just, you know, being disciplined with our time, you know, that, we have to kind of, I think that's why a daily schedule has been helpful for me, because it is easy just to sit down and just, okay, let's watch some Netflix and whatever, you know, just kind of scroll through or just scroll through social media. And for most of us, yeah, like the next day is going to be like this day. And so I think being able to go to bed on time, not sitting in front of the TV for hours upon hours, I mean, I think just trying to be smart with how we use our time, you know, goes a long way. Just putting up some like healthy guardrails kind of in place.
Yeah. And I just want to agree with you and give a little testimony there. Cause on Friday I was just running behind schedule and I was trying to get stuff done and everything was just taking longer than I thought. And I was just, and it was like 5:30 and I was just so frustrated. I've been sitting in front of the computer, it felt like all day, you know, and I just was feeling just like a blob on a chair, you know, and feeling just terrible and frustrated. And so, and thankfully my wise wife, she was like, go work out. And so it's gratefully, I was able to finish, putting together my exercise equipment in my garage before all this hit. So it was like, awesome. So I had to leave some things undone and I had to finish it up on Saturday, but I went, did my workout and the whole week had felt like that, you know, and just, I had missed one workout. And so I was just frustrated but she was just like, look, just go get some exercise, get away, get out, you know, and I did. And man, it's just, I felt so much better, you know, and then just got away from the screen and just, you know, and then the next day I was able to finish up everything I needed to and it's fine. But yeah, getting those times in and just being able to say, okay, I got to walk away from the screen here and go do something active, go walk outside, go walk around the backyard or whatever, you know?
And that's where I think it also is so important right now. If, you know, if you're living with your family to have those times every day where, okay, we're going to read a book together right now. We're going to pray together. We're going to play a game together. We're going to do something that doesn't involve screens right now. I think it's really important to sort of set those no screen times, you know, and kind of guard that a little bit. I think that's important.
Yeah, we've wrestled with even now, like I think we've, you know, it's, you know, not wanting to get on the TV every night, you know, with the kids, like not having, you know, because we have set time for them to watch TV in the daytime. They have some TV time in the afternoon. But in the evening, it's, I guess, because it feels like because I'm home all the time and because we're under this kind of lockdown, it feels like this weird forced vacation type thing that's really stressful.
Sure.
this really anxious, stressful vacation we're all taking.
Yeah.
and so we're just kind of like, oh man, we've got to really stop and make sure that we're, you know, getting those times in, getting those times of family worship in.
Yeah.
Times of, you know, let's play a game instead. Let's do something. Let's not turn on a screen tonight, you know? And so that's good. Well, so last thing is what for you in your own moments where you are frustrated or down or just kind of, you know, like what are the scriptures or biblical principles or aspects of God? Gospel, whatever, like what are the things that you turn to when you're trying to preach to your own soul, to your heart?
Yeah. I would say, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's, I feel like I've had a number of seasons in my life like that. And, it's not an unfamiliar territory for me. And especially right now in such a weird, you know, I've had a couple nights where I've just been sort of anxious and had a hard time sleeping just because, yeah, what's the next couple months going to look like? And it's been really strange. You know, for me, the Psalms are kind of always the sort of the place I go, you know, particularly, you know, one of the small groups that I'm leading right now is a small group with a couple guys on the Psalms. And so last week we looked at Psalm 42 and 43 together. And yeah, why are you downcast on my soul? You know, hope in God, right? And so I think for me, the Psalms are the place that I kind of go. You know, I think it was Calvin who said it's like a mirror to the soul. Like whatever you're feeling or whatever you're feeling with God or in yourself, whatever emotions you're experiencing, like there's a Psalm that reflects that somewhere. And so I think finding those Psalms, which both take, you know, they take our emotions very seriously. They take our, you know, the way that we're feeling very seriously. And they also remind us of the truths, you know, of God's promises. And so that's, I feel like what I need the most in that moment. I need to be understood and I need to be reminded of the promises of God and the steadfast love, you know, which endures forever and is a beautiful refrain all through the Psalms. And so, yeah, that's kind of been for me a place where I've found a lot of rest and help lately.
All right. Well, that's great, man. Well, thank you again for taking time to do this. And it's really been encouraging to hear what's going on with you guys. And I'm sure what you've shared is encouragement to everybody listening. So thanks for giving the time.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. And I loved it, man. It was good to hang out with you.
Well, that's going to do it for us today. I hope that you enjoyed that conversation. I hope that you were encouraged to embrace creativity in this time and that you enjoy these momentary comforts that God gives us in games or movies and entertainment and to enjoy them with thanksgiving. If you want to learn more about Reform University Fellowship, just go to ruf.org. You can search for Tennessee Tech University. If you want to reach out to Gavin, you can find him at gavin.breeden. That's gavin.breeden. At ruf.org. Well, that'll do it for us today. I'm Eric Mamet for the Rookie Pastor. And remember, just one step at a time.